Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with God Will Provide, as we pick up in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
When we had built the little chapel a block away, and things were going great, into triple services, had enlarged the sanctuary, putting 500 chairs out in the patio, and the place was just jammed, all three services on Sunday morning. We were faced with a dilemma. Winter was coming. What are we going to do? Fellow in the church said, well, he said, I was with the syndicate. We bought 10 acres over on Fairview, and we've just lost it. He said, we've been trying to make deals on it for years. Nothing works. He said, I believe that God wants that for the church. I think that's why the Lord had me go with the syndicate to just hold the thing 4 years ago so that the church could have it. And he said, I would be very glad to just accept my losses if the church got that 10 acres. He said, we just couldn't keep up the payments anymore. And in fact, they took a four-year note from the lady who owned it, and the 4 years had come due, and they just didn't have the money to go on. They had purchased it 4 years earlier for $456,000. And I said, well, we don't have that kind of money. There's no way we can afford 10 acres. Then I got to thinking, well, let's see. If we sold off 5 acres, we could probably get our money back if we could buy it for a decent price. If we could, say, move into what their position was even and buy it for $456,000, maybe we could sell off half of it and all we need is five. That's 5 acres more than we'd ever need for our church. I had tremendous faith. One of the fellows in the church, and I dismissed it, oh, that's too much money. We just don't have it. We can't do it. You can't borrow. Churches have a difficult time borrowing money. So a fellow in the church came to me and he said, I believe that the woman who owns that property would sell it for $300,000 cash. He said, you see, her taxes have lapsed and she's been living off of the money, the interest that these guys have been paying her. And now that she doesn't have the money coming in, she's in bad shape. And actually, the taxes are due and she can't pay them. I think she'd take $300,000 cash just to get out of it. And that will last her well for the rest of her life because she's in her late 70s. I said, oh, she'd never take $300,000 cash. She just foreclosed on a $456,000 note. And they bought it 4 years ago. The price has gone way up since then. He said, would you give me the permission to offer her $300,000 cash in the name of the church? I said, sure, of course, why not, you know. Foolish man. And he called me up on the phone all excited. He said, she accepted it. I said, great, what do we do now? Where do we get $300,000 cash? He said, well, he said, I have a note that I think she'll take. It's a first trust deed on some apartments, and it's for $90,000, and I'd be glad to loan that to the church for 1 year interest-free. The church had $60,000 in the bank, and he said, I think the savings and loan, because it's such a good buy, will loan you half of it on a property loan for 2 years. So we went down to the savings and loan, and it was such a good buy. They said, yes, they would loan us $150,000 for 2 years, and 11% interest. So we bought it. Now, this was obligating us pretty heavy because this was just bare farmland at that time. And we knew that we had to put parking lot, we had to put street improvements on Sunflower Boulevard, sidewalks over there, we had to put, you know, we had to put the buildings in and everything, and we knew it was going to run a parcel of money. And so I would drive home from church coming up Sunflower Avenue here, and I'd park at the left turn signal to go on down Fairview, and I would look over at this bare 10 acres, and I'd start getting heart palpitations. And I'd say, Chuck, What are you doing? Obligating those people for that property. And the purchase of the property is just the beginning. What are you getting yourself into? And I begin to think, I wonder if we can back out of it. I wonder if there's something, you know, we can do to get out of it. You know, what am I doing? What am I doing? You know, and I just would start getting frantic thinking about the money that was going to be needed for all of this. And as I was sitting there, my palms began to sweat. And I think, oh, please, like, turn green. I can't stand this. I can't stand looking at that property over there. It's wiping me out. And the Lord would speak to me. And he'd say, whose church is it? I said, it's your church, Lord. He said, then what are you worried about? If it's my church, what does it matter to you if it goes broke? What difference does that make to you if it's my church? I said, well, I really don't know, Lord. I guess it doesn't make any difference. Your church, fine. You created the problem. Take care of it. And by the time I'd hit the San Diego freeway, I had such glorious victory, just praising the Lord for his church. I was driving up the street, parked at the corner, looking over here. And the first payment was coming due on the, we were paying interest only on the $150,000 that we borrowed from the savings loan. And it was $1,100 a month, which wasn't bad at all. And it was well within our budget. We could handle it. But I said, Lord, it's your church, huh? Do you think that's a wise way to spend your money? What are you getting from that? That's just interest, Lord. That's just going right into their coffer, and you're not going to even see that again. Do you think that's a wise way to spend your money, Lord? As long as it's your church, why don't you pay off the $150,000? You ought to be able to do that. And I got home, and my wife said, honey, Ed Riddle called. He wants you to call him back. Ed Riddle was the realtor who was in the syndicate that bought the property and lost it, told us about it. So I called Ed. He said, Chucky, he said, I just got a call from Shell Oil Company. He said, they looked on the records and they thought our syndicate still owned the property and they want to buy the corner for $150,000. He said, you suppose the church would be interested in selling off the corner for $150,000? You notice the Shell station on the corner. I'll tell you, after that, I didn't worry again. His church. And he's been doing a fantastic job taking care of it. And it makes it so easy for me because I can just kick back. And watch the Lord develop his church. Because it's not by might. Not by our organized efforts. It's not by our forcing issues. Driving and forcing it. But it's just the glorious power of the Holy Spirit. By my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the mountains? They'll become a plain before Zerubbabel. Those mountains will disappear. Those mountains will just level right out before him. And you know, it's glorious the way the Lord can level the mountains before you. It's interesting that so much of our worry is about things that are yet in the future. Yes, I've got enough for today, but oh, I don't know what I'm going to do next week. You know, God's taking care of me up till now. I'm here. God's taking care of me up to now, but it's not right now I'm worried about. I'm worried about next week, next month. But it's interesting that so often those things that we spend so much time worrying about, by the time we arrive there, the mountain has already been removed and it's just a plain. It's flat land. How God can remove the mountains before us. It's glorious. when the Spirit of God is working in your life. Now, with Zerubbabel, the word of the Lord, it was a word of encouragement. He had been discouraged in the building of the temple. He had given up. They had quit. Can't be done. They had organized the men. They had organized the efforts. They had men that were in charge of cleaning up debris, men that were in charge of carrying rocks, and they had organized the whole efforts. And they were pushing and forcing the men. And they weren't doing anything. They weren't getting the job done. They gave up. It was just too much. And the word of the Lord came and said, hey, it isn't by your organized efforts. It isn't by your force. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The women who were on their way to the tomb said, who is going to remove the stone? And they were worried as they talked among themselves. Now, who's going to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? All worried about it. When they got there, what did they find? The stone was already rolled away. So typical of so many of our worries. What are we going to do when we get there? We find that when we get there, the Lord's been there already and took care, has taken care of everything for us. And the mountains turn into plains before the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall finish it. Zerubbabel had given up. He had quit working. But the Lord said, look, he started it, and he's going to finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? Now, this, of course, was one of the discouraging things. As they laid the foundations, the old men started wailing. Terrible, because they could remember the glory of Solomon's temple. And now these people are building this little dinky thing. And all the young guys, they'd never seen Solomon's temple. They were so excited. Oh, look, the foundation. They were all excited. But the old men were there wailing and weeping. Quite a scene. But those who were wailing and weeping discouraged those that were building. Oh, such a little thing. It's nothing. And who hath despised the days of small things? Now, there are many times we are wanting to get ahead of the work of God in our lives. God brings us in our spiritual growth along in a very important pace. But there are many times we're not satisfied with the pace that God has set. We want to get ahead of it. And so often we despise the days of small things in our own lives. A person comes up to me and says, I really feel like I want to serve the Lord. And I like to serve the Lord here at Calvary Chapel. And I usually will say to them, wonderful. Go over and talk to Mike in our Sunday school. We're in need of Sunday school teachers. And there's an excellent opportunity for you to serve the Lord. Oh, well, that's not what I had in mind. I was thinking if Romaine maybe wanted to quit or if you wanted to resign, I could pastor Calvary Chapel, They despise the days of small things. They want to do a big work for God. And there are a lot of people sitting around not willing to do the little things, waiting for the big door to open, waiting for Billy Graham to call and say, I'm ready to step out and I want you to come and take over and preach at these great meetings. All right, I've been waiting for that. Yes, but you're not prepared for that, you see. God starts us out in the little things. I started out teaching Sunday school classes. And then I was advanced to teaching and leading a youth group. Started out in small things. Too many people despise the small things. But if you're not faithful in the small things, God will never be able to raise you up to the bigger things. Don't despise the days of small things. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, get in and do it for the glory of God. And if you are faithful in the little things, then God will make you ruler over the bigger things. And so there were those who despised the days of the small things, and that's true today. And that's always sad because you'll always be restricted and limited. You'll never grow, you'll never develop until you're willing to get in and to be satisfied with the least thing that God has called you to do. And be faithful to those least things to which the Lord has called you. For who hath despised the day of small things, they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. And these are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. The seven eyes are the seven spirits which stand before the throne of God in Revelation chapter 5. Then I answered and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what are these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out by themselves? And he answered him, said, don't you know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. The two anointed ones, these are the two witnesses of the book of Revelation. Read it in chapter 11. These are the two olive trees or the branches that stand before the Lord of the earth. They're in Revelation chapter 2, God's two witnesses in the last days. And we pointed out that Malachi tells us that Elijah will be one of the two witnesses. And it is possible that Zerubbabel himself will be one of the other two witnesses according to the prophecies of Haggai. It would appear that perhaps Zerubbabel will be one of the other two witnesses in the last verse of Haggai chapter 2, verse 23. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. And he's speaking of the last days and the overthrow of the kingdoms of the world. So then I turned and I lifted up my eyes and I beheld a flying roll. Now this must have been a weird looking sight, a flying saucer kind of a thing. And he said unto me, what do you see? And I answered and said, I see a flying roll. And it's about 30 feet long and it's about 15 feet wide. Then he said unto me, this is the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that steals shall be cut off on this side according to it, and everyone that swears shall be cut off as on that side according to it. And I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of the house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. So there is judgment associated with this scroll or the flying roll. Now, beyond that, I don't know because the scripture doesn't tell us anything beyond that. The last or the ninth of the 10th visions. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now your eyes and see what is going forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah, which is actually a bushel, equivalent to about a bushel and three pints, that goes forth. And he said, moreover, this is their resemblance through the whole earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is the woman that sits in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. Now, we are dealing actually with the ephah and the talents with commercialism. And God's view of it is its wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. Then I lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and heaven. Then I said to the angel that talked with me, where are they carrying the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it a house in the land of Babylon, Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. So God's rebuke against the commercial system that would be headquartered in Babylon, that was headquartered in those days in Babylon, and does speak of the modern day commercial system that will be destroyed in Revelation chapter 18. When Zechariah gets out of these visions, and we have just one more, then you'll find the reading a lot more clear, and your understanding will be a lot clearer once we get out of these visions. I have a little hard time with these visions. You know, they're sort of weird, some of them. They do take explaining, and I'm glad that the Lord did explain them, or else we would really be lost.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Zechariah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Zechariah 4 through 5 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and keep you steadfast in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. And may you experience each day more of His love, more of His Spirit working in your life as you yield yourself to God. May you know that power through the Holy Spirit. And may God thus enable you to do His work, and may your life be blessed as you serve the Lord in the opportunities that He gives to you this week. Maybe they seem like very small things, but God help you to be faithful in the little things and not to despise the days of small things. For if you are faithful in the little things, then God will place more responsibility upon you. But don't force it. Just flow with the Spirit and have a beautiful day in Jesus.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a timely book entitled Philippians, a Bible study for women by Kay Smith, wife of Pastor Chuck. In times of hardship and doubt, are you filled with joy? If this less than perfect world has robbed you of joy and filled you instead with fear and worry, you must learn the secrets found in the book of Philippians. Join Kay as she discovers the Apostle Paul's top secrets to a life filled with joy, available to every Christian woman today.
Sometimes in the deepest trials, God will so minister to us, or the Holy Spirit will so minister to us, that even in the deepest trials, we can have joy. And that's what we're trying to impress on the people's heart. We have joy just because we have Jesus.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll-free at 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-9673.
And godliness with contentment is great gain.